You're listening to the Mom Inspired Show, episode 380 with Sarah Bragg.
Welcome to the Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg, and this show is created to inspire, encourage, and add a little extra fun to your day.
You guys, I'm super excited to have Sarah back on the show today. I had her on, I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago. I feel like time just flies by. And, you know, when you're at episode 380, it kind of all blends together. But I wanted to have her on because we are going to be talking about her new book, Is Everyone Happier Than Me? And I just absolutely love that title. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like sometimes you're like, is everyone happier than me? Especially when you get sucked into the vortex of social media and it's just the highlight reel and you're like, yep, everyone's having a better time than me. They're happier than me. Life is going better than them. And so I wanted to have her come on because I feel like this is such a struggle. And also just midlife. And you know, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, I have been kind of shifting more into midlife, perimenopause, which kind of falls in from 35 to 50. But I kind of make that range 55. It just depends on where you are hormonally and stuff like that. And midlife, you know, I feel like midlife kind of starts at your 40s. And I think it's a struggle. I think there's a lot of changes in this time frame and season of our life with our kids, depending on when you had the kids, if they're going into college, just going into high school, middle school, you name it. You might have just had a baby. Okay. But then you're still going through all the hormonal changes of midlife. Your parents might not be doing well. Careers may be changing. You may be bored and you're just like, what am I doing with my life? You might have lost that zest for life. You're just like, where did the sparkle go? And so that's what Sarah and I are going to be talking about. And, you know, we're also talking about too, is just how our bodies change at this point of our life, right? With perimenopause, we could be doing the same things that we used to do and nothing is working. And that is so frustrating because we start to lose ourselves. It's like we can't see ourselves anymore. So I want to invite you guys that if you are struggling with the weight loss from perimenopause, you want to lose the weight, but you just don't know how to do it and keep the weight off. And you kind of just feel like, should I eat the bread? Do I not eat the bread? Should I avoid sugar? Should I be, you know, eating sugar? Should I be fasting? I don't know. I heard that fasting is not great if you are still having your period. There's so much information out there, right? And maybe you're just kind of showing up and hoping for the best. And you keep changing tactics weekly. And then when things don't work up, you just end up, you know, starting a year later because you're just like, well, I don't know what to do, right? So listen, I have a one-on-one coaching program and you get to hang out with me and I'm going to walk you through every single step to figuring out why you are not losing weight and then coming up with a plan that is sustainable and not just for weight loss, you guys, but for maintenance. That is the biggest key. I think so many people say, I can lose the weight. I just can't keep it off. So I want you to know, because I lost over 50 pounds in 2019, and have kept it off, I understand what a big deal that is. So, you know, with me getting certified as a life coach and weight loss coach, and then you know, connect that with me losing weight, I get it. I understand you. I see you. I know the struggle. And so let me help you. And if you're ready to up level and lose weight for the last time, just go to mominspiredshow.com/coaching. All right, you guys, let's go to the show. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Hi, I'm so happy to be back.
I know. I'm super excited to talk to you again. Okay. So you might have not remembered this, but I love asking an icebreaker. And the question is, what do you wish you could have told your younger self? Like things that you kind of know now. And that can be like a long time ago or it could be recent. It just depends.
Where do we begin, Amber? No, I'm just kidding.
I hear you.
You know, the first thing that comes to mind that I would like to tell myself to go to therapy sooner.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of things that I think I thought that I wouldn't deal with when I got to this like midlife stage, like, oh, surely like 40 somethings don't deal with their body image. Like that's like a teen, right?
Yeah.
Hello. Like,
right. Yep.
Definitely struggle with that. So I think there's a lot of things that I wish that I just would have maybe sought some more professional help in some of these areas younger.
Yeah.
So that I would just be a little bit more prepared to deal with them, the things that are coming at me now.
Sure. So when you think about younger in regards to this, what do you feel like? Are you thinking like in your 30s that you wish you kind of would have done this or like, or early 40s? Like what? So if somebody's listening to this going, oh, like maybe I'm around that age and maybe I should see somebody or whatever.
You know, I think, well, like let's take for like the body image, you know, struggle with that. I think, you know, I clearly had struggles growing up that started in that preteen through adolescence, through college, very heavy things in that time. Mm. And no one looked at me and said, you know what? I think you need some like help. Like it was more of like bootstraps. Let's like figure this out.
Yeah.
Read enough books, you know, will yourself to, you know, and sometimes that, and it clearly has, you know, worked for time and stretches, but I think there's things now that I go, man, I've got some well-worn paths in my brain about worth that I wish that I had started making new paths, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. I think that for me, even earlier, and then of course, you know, my 30 year olds, I mean, I think every season when you're facing, you know, becoming a mom was so hard. Yeah. And again, no one was saying, of course, my oldest is turning 16. And no one really said, oh, I think you might have like postpartum anxiety like that. That's a thing, you know? And so again, that would have been, so I think I can look back on my life and go, oh, I think some professional help could have just helped me a little bit faster or a little bit deeper.
That's true.
Than what I experienced.
Yeah. I have a counselor and I do. I think I like what you're saying, like a little bit faster. Like we don't need to drag it out, you know, if you don't want to, right? Like, I think sometimes we're just like, oh, well, you know, things aren't supposed to come faster, but like, if it can go faster, why stay in it? Like, if you can just move along, learn what you need to. So I think that's such good advice and so good for people. It may give them permission, to not, you know, feel like, oh, I should just figure this out on my own. It's fine. Yeah. Especially because it costs money, right? Especially if insurance doesn't cover that. That if you can somehow try to figure out your budget and to prioritize that to maybe, like, if you can move something else to be able to just get a few sessions, like 5 sessions or something, right? To have somebody kind of look into your life and give you some guidance, I think that would really help.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I loved going and working out at a gym. And for a season, I was like, you know what? I can't go this many times with the trainer because I need to go to therapy. And it was one of those, like, this is a no for now so that I can say yes to this for now.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's smart to just kind of look at it like that and go, this is for a season. I'm investing in myself in this way this time.
And sometimes, I mean, it's more important to focus on your mind. Focus on your mind than, you know, your muscles, right? Like it's just like, sometimes it's just more, you know, I think a lot of times people are like, oh, I don't want to lose my momentum with working out. But if you're not in the right space mentally, it doesn't really matter then.
Oh, for sure. And that was, you know, which is funny. Again, this is, you know, let me just be my vulnerable self of like my issues with worth.
Yeah.
I was working out because I was trying to, my midlife body had changed at 42 and nothing worked like it used to work. And so I was like, I'm going to like will it to work the way that it's supposed to work. So I'm going to work out like this when I was not doing enough work in my head and the way that I thought about myself.
Yeah.
And so it didn't matter. It was like, I couldn't even see any progress that I was making.
Yeah.
It's I need to spend more time in the head part.
Yeah.
than in the physical part in this way so that I can then appreciate what I'm doing for my physical self.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Okay. Sarah, how about you share your full name, where you're from, how many kids you have and their ages?
Yes, I am Sarah Bragg and I currently live in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Spent most of my life in the Atlanta area. So, this is sort of new being back in Tennessee and I've got 2 girls. Sinclair she's about to be 16 and Rory is about to be 14. So she actually went and toured the high school today. So that's what we're about to have everybody in high school in the very near future.
Yes. Does that make you sad or what does it make you feel?
Well, logistically, it makes me very happy.
Yes. yes. I understand I love that.
The one school, Sinclair will drive them. Like this will be great.
Perfect.
But it is a little bit strange that baby that comes along. Yeah. You're like, are you sure we're at this point that you can go to high school? Are you sure we're there?
Yeah.
So that one feels a little bit strange on that end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can understand that. My youngest is going to be 10. And so for me, I'm in that, I won't have any more single digit kids anymore.
Yeah.
And that's sad. So I can only imagine once my youngest is going into high school. That's why I was asking you how you feel. So
yeah.
Anyway, I see a little furry friend that just came in to see you. Oh, he's okay.
He has been trying to open this door.
It's totally the entire fine. I see two of them. Is there, wait, there are two of them? Oh, no, there's the cat. Is there a dog?
Oh, there is.
Oh, that's fine. They're not making any noise.
Is that fine?
Yeah,
okay.
You're good. You're good.
Okay.
They're just cute. Okay.
I
just
saw them
while you were
answering.
I saw them like moving along.
Well, you know, it's so funny. I keep a post-it over my side of the screen.
Yeah.
So I don't even get distracted with myself.
Oh, and then, yeah.
But you can see hear the door. And I was like, what is going
on? Totally okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's mom's here. So they all know how that goes.
Exactly.
Like, if it's not an animal, it's a child trying to get your attention.
That is not the truth.
So, Sarah, how about you share with us how you got where you are today? So how about you just kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, when you came on the first time and then, you know, what's bringing you on today?
Yeah. Well, the first time I got to chat with you, I was talking about a book called A Mother's Guide to Raising Herself. Mm-hmm. What parenting taught me about life, faith, and myself. And it really is, you know, however many years in the making of all the things that I learned when I was raising my girls, that was not necessarily like about how to parent, but was really how I needed to kind of grow in some of these things. If I'm seeing my girls and the worth that they are, I need to do some work on that and myself. That really highlighted things that I needed to work on.
Yeah.
And so, so I always knew that I was going to write another book after that one. And honestly, I feel like that first book came out in August of 21. So I wrote it during the shutdown, during the pandemic. And so I can look back and see how I don't think I was real. I was just like adrenaline. You've got to, like, you know, like we're homeschooling our kids because they're, you know, schools and all the things. Yeah. And then we moved, like uprooted our whole life. Mm-hmm. And so by the time that book came out, I feel like I was in a place of just complete burnout. And I knew I was on the hook to write another book. And the book that I was going to write, the publisher was like, I don't really want you to write that one. And I was like, well, what do you want me to write about? They're like, we don't know. And I was like, oh, great. Like, you know, you just felt so lost. Mm. And so in that season of burnout, I really spent probably about a year with not sure what I was going to do. I actually paused my podcast during that time. Mm. I just didn't write anything. I just was kind of was like, I need to dial it back and take care of myself.
Yeah.
And during that time, I had the idea for this current book, which is called Is Everyone Happier Than Me?
I love that title.
An honest guide to the questions that keep you up at night. Because what was happening is every night, like around 3 a.m., I'd wake up and it was like, just let me just scroll through a Rolodex of fears and worries and what do I need to ruminate on tonight?
Yeah.
And I really just felt like the themes that were coming up were about happiness and comparison and perfectionism. And am I always going to feel stuck or what do I do now? Like this thing ended, but I don't know what's next.
Yeah.
Or does anybody like me? I don't feel like myself. I was just asking myself all these questions. And so I thought, I think that's just what I want to write about. Like, I don't know that I have clear answers. It's not a three-step guide to happiness.
Right.
It's more of a, hey, this is what's going on with me. And I kind of feel like it's going on with you. Mm. Here's some things that are helping me get back to sleep and to deal with some of these questions that I'm feeling. And so maybe what's helping me might help you. And so that's really how this book really kind of came about.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's so good. And that stood out to me, that title. And I was just thinking that, especially with social media, so many people fall into that trap of, is everyone happier than me? Especially most people are putting the best out there. So you really do feel like everyone is happier than me, clearly, right? And so you're comparing yourself to what you're seeing to the inside of yourself. And I just want to get your thoughts on that. Like, what kind of helped you work through that? And what did you realize, I guess, through writing this? Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you talked to other people or if you just kind of figured out why you were feeling that way and what were you feeling unhappy about? Because I think a lot of women feel this way. And I think they feel bad for feeling this way, especially if they have a good life, right? You're kind of like,
absolutely.
Why do I not feel happy? I have running water. I have all this. I should be happy. Which then I feel like that shame, it like spirals because you're just like,
completely.
I should be happy and I'm not happy and I feel bad that I don't feel happy. And then, you know, and that's probably what keeps you up at night.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's like we need our happiness starter kit based on social media would be my Stanley,
Yeah.
My, you know, Drunk Elephant skincare, mm-hmm. my, you know, like mm-hmm. let's go down the whole, you know, my yeah. Lululemon. Mm-hmm. That's your starter kit to happiness based yeah. on social media.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's funny. The trigger that got me to realize that there needed to be something done is the Atlanta Braves, who I love so much. They won the World Series and they were going to, we had moved. So they won the World Series. We didn't live there anymore. Oh. And there was going to be a parade.
Oh.
And I looked around and saw all these people that I knew from where we lived were going to be at this parade. And I'm like, they're not even Braves fans. Why are they getting to go? And I don't get to go. Like, I just, it's so silly. It is the silliest little thing. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like what I felt. Yeah. I didn't like what I was seeing in myself because I was just consuming sure. all of this on social media. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I just need a break. I don't like that when I'm on social media, this is my response. Yeah. This is, I should be going, oh my gosh, that's so amazing that they're getting to go to the parade. Yeah. How great. But mm-hmm. instead it was just angst, jealousy. And so for me, I just decided to kind of put an actual guardrail up and I got off of social media for about 4 months.
Yeah.
And it was really great. Like it was really great to not have that awareness of what was going on.
Yeah.
Or this awareness of, oh, I'm supposed to be having these things or going to these places or going to this event that these other people got invited to. It was really helpful for me to take a solid season to just be unaware.
Yeah.
And to do some work internally to go, okay, I need to work on saying, like, there's a phrase that helped me, good for you. You know, when I would see those things, being able to go, good for you. That is so good for you. That is good for you that you get to go to that parade. It is good for you that you got these things. And just saying that helped me to be in a better place with these people. But it took me kind of taking some steps back and putting up some guardrails and putting timers on the app, just like you do your kids and just going, okay, I've got to put some boundaries in place with this so that I can be in a more healthy place when it comes to social media.
Yeah. We actually, our church, this is our second year doing it. It's called the Digital Detox. And we do it at the start of Lent. And so it goes to Easter. And it's, you know, everybody can do what they want with the fast. So there's different people, you know, might get more strict or whatever. One of the things that I did is not be on Instagram. And so, because like you're saying, you can't, well, not even that, like our pastor will say it's like doom scrolling, right? You're just kind of like going on and on. And I didn't know this, that scrolling is the same thing that goes off in your head when you're doing the, you know, when you're gambling. And you're doing
like the lottery. What is it?
Oh my gosh.
No. Well, clearly we need to go to a casino and get our lingo correct.
Or because of being in our 40s too, that we're just like,
Hello. Slot machine.
One of us would figure this out. So it's that same mechanism. It's that when they pull it down and they wait for all the stuff, it's the same with the scrolling. Yeah. And so I'm like, wow, that is really interesting. And yeah, I mean, of course there are times that I'm like, oh, I do miss out. Like, what are people doing? But there is a part that I'm like, it's kind of nice to not have it. And so I know exactly what you're saying. It's, you might find yourself being like, oh, they get to do this, or why do they get to go? Or you might realize you're not part of something that you might have thought you would have been part of something, and you wouldn't have known that back in the day, right? If you didn't have social media. And so I think it's been really good, you know, to kind of just refrain from that. So when you came back onto social media, like, what did you end up doing so that you didn't fall right back into that?
Yes. Well, I started in like baby steps. And so I didn't want to get back into scrolling. That was the number one thing. I didn't want to scroll or do stories. Mm-hmm. So I would open up my phone and I would take my hand and I would cover up.
Oh, the top.
Yeah. I would cover up everything because I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing messages. I didn't want to be rude if someone was like messaging me.
Sure.
So that was my first step. I was like, I'm just going to get on here, check messages. And then I did that for a little while. And then I literally just set, you know, on your phone. I mean, I don't know Androids, but if you have an Apple iPhone, you can set up screen time timers. And so I set a 30-minute timer on Instagram and that was like, okay, this is your time for today. Like, you know, spend it how you want, but this is the time. Yeah. And I think that has been really helpful because I think it's really we're really unaware how much time we're spending on it. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so having that in place has been really helpful. I still have that in place to go, this is your boundary. Some days I'm going to like ignore it and I'll, you know, go on and do my thing. Right. But then most days I'm like, okay, great. That was good to realize that I've spent 30 minutes on this.
Yeah. I think that is a good technique. Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about, this is in your book, Why Don't I Feel Like Myself Anymore? So I'd love for you to kind of delve into that a little bit more. Like, what do you think like came from that? Like, what started making you feel like you're not yourself?
Yeah. You know, I read a statistic at some point and it said that 70% of women in midlife feel invisible.
Yeah.
And I think that's very true. I just started part of that time that I'd said in the beginning, I was feeling really miserable.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, well, I used to have a lot of excitement about doing my podcast. I don't feel that way anymore. Mm. I used to like, it was like everything that I once was is not is anymore. Like, you know, I used to weigh this much. Now I weigh 20 pounds more.
Yeah.
I used to be able to, you know, do this to lose weight and I can't anymore. I've started thinking, gosh, I feel really bored in life. Mm. I'm very busy. Like
and you write books too, and you still feel that way,
right? But I felt bored, and I think some of that was going, like you just kind of realize, what do I do for me that is me, right? Like I don't think I really was at that point participating in hobbies or things that I just enjoyed for the sake of this is who I am and this is what I enjoy.
Yeah,
and so I really felt like there was just this season where I started feeling invisible. And not like myself, like, you know, it's not like we're 65 years old, but there is something that, you know, people just don't notice you anymore.
Yes, right.
You know, like you, I would laugh, you know, these teenage boys I would come across or even 20 something boys would call me ma'am. And I was like, don't ma'am me. I am not a ma'am yet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I actually am a ma'am. I'm 45 years old, you know, but it was those like reckoning with that feeling of just feeling invisible and all the things that once were now aren't. And what do we do now? You know, who am I now at 45 years old? Yeah. And so really that's what that chapter is all about, is just going, gosh, I don't feel like myself. Why is that? And what can I do? And I wrote another chapter about the in between, but it kind of feels like when you're in midlife, you're sort of in a in between season.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know you've talked a lot about like perimenopause and all of those things with your audience. And, you know, puberty, we can kind of see a beginning and an end. We've lived it and it's usually not that terribly long. Like I can see it in my girls. I see eighth grade is terrible, but there will be an end. And, you know, but it's hard at our stage. You know, some of us are in perimenopause for 15 years. Yeah, I mean, that's a long
And you may not even know that you're in it. That's the challenging part. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I'm constantly trying to figure out, like, you know, my husband laughs and he's like, today on the game show of why did Sarah not sleep tonight? You know, we laugh about it because I'm constantly going, why didn't I sleep tonight? What's going on? Why do I feel that, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes there's just not a clear answer. So it leaves us just feeling really strange in this season of life. And so that's really what I wanted to kind of open up and be honest about, some of the things that I'm feeling at this stage, because I know I'm not the only one that feels invisible or feels bored or, you know, feels like, is this it? Like, what's next? I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, do you know that I lost over 50 pounds in 2019 and have kept it off? And in 2021, I became a certified life coach so that I could help moms lose weight for the last time. But I do know that sometimes thinking about coaching can be overwhelming. And so what I did for people who want to take that baby step is created a podcast roadmap. This roadmap will take you step by step through the top 10 best and most effective weight loss podcast episodes I have done. So if this is interesting to you, you can go to mominspiredshow.com/podcast-roadmap-opt-in/. If this was too long to remember, go to my show notes, mominspiredshow.com, and go to this episode and you will see that link and you can click it. Or you can go to anywhere that you listen to the podcast and it will be in the show notes. Just go ahead and click it and it will take you right there. But this is a great tool to get going and just get your feet wet in regards to figuring out how you can start to lose weight and lose it for the last time. I'm thinking to myself, you know, people might be listening and they're like, that you moved, right? You moved and you wrote a book, and they may be thinking, gosh, and she's bored. That sounds so amazing. So what do you think it was for you? What did you find? Did you find something that you absolutely loved? Like what got you out of that funk, you know, that you're just kind of like, like, I don't know. Yeah. Right.
Yep. I think some of that boredom comes from a sense of loneliness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember the first time I wrote about this idea of busy but bored was with my newsletter, and I had someone respond back and she said, I have felt that way. Mm. And she said, everything I've done is for work has been, you're just kind of on your own. You're Zooming, online, you don't have to be around people. So she said, I decided to take, like, I can't remember if she volunteered or if it was like a part-time job at the school where her kids went. Cause she was like, I just needed to like be involved with people around for a little bit. And that helped pull her out. Mm. And so I feel like that is what it is. It's kind of getting to the root of why I'm feeling that way. So, you know, first getting kind of curious. And for me, it was kind of like, I needed to do something that I enjoyed. So I went back to playing tennis. I played tennis all through college. And then it was like, I graduated college and I put my racket up and never played again.
Wow.
So I hadn't played in over 20 years, and I went back to it and I was like, oh, this is so fun. Oh, I love this.
So good. Yeah.
And it's for me, it is something that I'm good at. It is something that I enjoy. It's active. And so that helped, you know, yes, that was adding another thing to my calendar, which was already busy, but it felt different.
Yeah.
So I feel like sometimes we have to, Elizabeth Gilbert calls it making your own magic. Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta like do something that helps spin the wheels to get you out of this state. She talks about, like, if you leave a dog trapped in a home long enough, it's probably gonna eat the couch. Like, it's gonna like be so like, I gotta do something with this energy.
Yeah.
So it's this idea of what can you do with that energy in you? Where can you? Oh gosh.
Oh, it's just your cat. Don't worry.
Oh my goodness, everybody.
It's hilarious.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, no, it really is. That was funny. The cat is obviously not bored.
Actually, that cat, he's like, listen, I will destroy something to get your attention. And that's essentially, that's so funny that happened, because it's kind of what we're saying. Like, they will do something to get your attention. And so it's like, do something with that energy that you have. Like, you know, it could be picking up a hobby. It could be, you know what? I'm going to meet with a friend every week for a walk or for coffee or for drinks or whatever it might be, to just kind of like stir that in you. And so, or going, like, I've thought about like getting some kind of job somewhere. Mm-hmm. Not that I need more
like just
work,
a little part-time something.
Something that helps remember, I matter somewhere. Yeah. Like, I am needed somewhere. And it uses different muscles than the creative muscles that I'm flexing for this kind of work. Mm-hmm. I just think it's good for us to start to kind of reimagine ourselves again and go, what is it that this version of myself needs at this time?
Yeah.
Why is it, you know, or buy the skincare, you know, like whatever, like we feel invisible, you know what? Like, it's okay to like, I'm going to like buy some nice skincare and I'm going to take care of myself in that way, or highlight my hair, or, you know, do something that helps you feel more like you.
Yes.
I think that's what we have to start dipping into.
Yeah. Again. Yeah. So I was thinking about this. I think a lot of times, especially when you get to the point that you might be doing stuff and you're not losing the weight or your body's not changing when you were used to doing that. And sometimes I think we have to shift and just be like, that's okay. And you're going to play tennis instead, you know, where, and you may not be losing weight from tennis. Maybe you are, I don't know, but it's like, you're enjoying it. I think,
yes,
I think you have to start shifting a little bit out of, does working out equal weight loss, right?
Yes.
Versus like, is this fun? Like, we may just want to do this for fun, which I know is kind of mind blowing, you know, especially for women, you know? Yeah. And so, and that, I wonder too, like, how have you reconciled being at a heavier weight? Because I feel like this is an issue with people that they're like, and you talked about this at the very beginning when you're like, I went to counseling, I had to work on my mental. So you didn't lose the weight, right? Like, so did you
still work there?
Yeah. So I do coaching, for life coaching and weight loss. And this is something that I really work on, especially in this group of women, this age, right? That it's like, you can keep trying to chase after something. Like, I say this all the time. I could be smaller, but I'm like, but do I want to do what I would have to do probably to say I'm 10 pounds, 20 pounds lighter?
Right. Right.
Probably not. Like, I mean, and so is that kind of like what you had to come to, that you're just kind of like, I like my life like this. And if I'm going to be a slightly heavier, it's okay. Or like what happened for you?
It is a work in progress. Yeah. I am a 2 steps forward, 1 step back, or vice versa. 1 step forward, 2 steps back.
Yeah.
I feel like in this, it is, that I think is the hardest thing. One of the things that my counselor said that was really helpful, she said, you know, just like you're having to deconstruct a certain way of thinking about yourself.
Yeah.
And that will take a long time.
Yeah.
And as I want it to be a quick fix, and I've always been like, okay, yep, I see the problem. Is that enough? Like, I acknowledge that there's a problem. Mm-hmm. Can we just move on and like, correct. And it doesn't work like that. And so for me, it has been daily work, and it is agonizing. It is hard because it is, and I'm recognizing so much of, I got worth by looking a certain way.
Yeah.
And that has highlighted so much, shame that I feel. So reckoning with that and of going, you know, why do I worry about what others are thinking about me? Yeah. You know, I'm afraid that people are going, well, she just let herself go. She moved to Tennessee and like turned, you know, 45 and just like, you know, man, like
forget
no
about
one's
it.
Thinking, I no. have to remind myself, no one
yeah,
is
no
thinking,
one's thinking
that.
About that. Yeah.
No one is thinking that.
Yeah.
Or scared to wear a tennis skirt. It was actually really warm this week. Mm-hmm. And I went to play tennis and I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to wear a tennis skirt. Ooh, are they going to be like, why is she wearing a skirt? Like, you know,
yeah.
They weren't. Newsflash. They weren't. Yeah. They did not think about it. Yeah. So it's this constant work that I am doing of accepting where I am and realizing it's kind of what you said. At this point in life, I'm just kind of tired.
Yeah.
And so I don't have that same, like, it's not worth what it took, just drink bone broth only for like 2 weeks. And that,
right.
I don't have it in me anymore to do it. I just don't.
Yeah.
And so it really is working through all that. I've had blood work done and they're like, yeah, you're like really healthy. And I'm like, you know, like, you're like, no, I wanted you to tell me there was this like problem
something
that you've got to, something
fix
to motivate me to lose those 20 pounds. And it's like, no, you're actually really healthy. Like, you know, so it's going, okay, well, a doctor has said you're okay.
Yeah.
Like it's this constant, like mental work of checking myself when I feel the angst rising up. Okay. Oh, I need to get curious. Why am I feeling this way? Where's the shame coming from?
Yeah.
What do I need to fact check here? And allowing myself to feel sad at times. Like, I'm just kind of sad that I don't look like I once did. Mm-hmm. Just kind of sad about that.
Yeah.
And I don't like feeling sad. I don't like sitting in that grief.
Right.
But I think that when we do that, it does help us accept more. Because then I feel it and I go, okay, now we carry on.
Yeah.
And what is good about your life right now? What is like, what is good right now? Mm. So practicing that gratitude, all of those things are a lot of work that goes into accepting where I am. And it is not hard. I feel like I'm still like, you know, maybe I'm more like a 50-50 on days.
Yeah, sure.
I'm like, I feel like I'm making progress in that, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
It is not easy.
Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of things that I've had to move towards and especially getting older, I feel like I have to stretch more. I mean, it's just bizarre. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm like, why do I have to do this? Like, I don't even think I barely would stretch. And now I'm like finding like mobility classes on Peloton to be like, okay. And then stretching out my fingers when I'm doing arm workouts. I'm just, you know, and then I'm dealing with plantar fasciitis, which I never have problems.
It's awful.
And now I feel like a senior citizen when I have to think about my shoe selection. I'm like, what am I going to be able to walk in? I'm like, what has happened? I'm like, I really did think this would be like late 60s.
Yes. No one tells you.
Yeah.
I think some of it is because there's shame around that. And so I think for the longest time, no one talked about it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, we don't need to, you know, I don't want to talk about how I can't lose 20 pounds or
move.
That I have to pick like certain shoes because I'm, you know, no one wants to talk about it because it's kind of embarrassing. Mm-hmm. But I think we're realizing that I think women all along have felt like this at this season of life.
Yeah. And we just didn't know it because now we're finally here.
Exactly.
And this is the thing of why I like to talk about it so that people aren't like, oh, am I the only person feeling this? And I just think what I try to do, and I'm not perfect about it because I don't like wearing shorts. Like, so when you're talking about the tennis skirt, but I never have. It's like, that's never really been my jam. That's just like a struggle for me. And then when I lost a lot of my weight, I noticed in my thigh. So I have a lot of muscle, but especially the front of my thigh, it's just like, it's like if I could just pull the skin up, like my leg would look so much better.
Oh, yeah.
But because I lost the weight and then I was the age that I was, it's like gravity just wasn't on my side.
Yeah.
And it is so frustrating. So I say all this because even when I get past that, okay, kind of like you're 50-50, you're like, oh boy. Like sometimes you're like, I'm great. And then other times you're like, this is so bad. And but I have to just remember, like, for longevity, like I really do want to be in the best state that I can be able to do the things that I want to do. I mean, my 9-year-old still wants to jump up on me and wrap her legs around me. And she's probably slightly under 70 pounds. So to me, I'm like, that's what I want to be able to do.
Exactly.
You know? And not feel like I'm going to fall over because of my back or something. Right.
Yes, so exactly.
I just have to remind myself that is really the goal. And so I would love to look amazing towards that goal, but you know, that may not, there may be some things that look amazing and some things I'm like, meh,
right.
I don't know. So I hear you. And I do think the more we can do that makes us smile and laugh and feel good. We're just show up differently. And I'm sure you probably feel that way with tennis. Like, do you just feel like this joy that you were not getting everywhere else?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and again, you said this a few minutes ago. I mean, I was working out for the purpose of changing my body and look, you know, losing certain weight. And I was miserable.
Yes.
And when I would play tennis, not once did I think about how many calories I was burning. I didn't think about it. And I honestly wasn't, once I got on the court, I wasn't thinking about what I looked like in that tennis skirt.
You just want to play a good game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I was like, you know what? I think I need to pause working out and just do the thing that brings me joy.
Yep.
And then like 3 months later, I was like, you know what? I mean, I do want to be strong. Sure. I don't kind of like you. I don't want to, I'm watching my parents' health decline. I'm like, I don't want to not have strength.
Right.
But I can do it in a way that I'm like, I'm doing this because I want to like be strong. So there, it took some time away of going, let me readjust my mental, you know, purpose behind this.
Yes.
It really did take that to go, okay, well, I do want to be strong. So I'll do some like squats and some, you know, weights, but I really, if I'm going to put my time somewhere, it's going to be on the tennis court.
Yeah. I love that.
I need more joy in my life.
Yeah. Well, and even weight training, you could think about it this way, it would make you a better tennis player.
Like, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So even if you thought about it that way, that might motivate you to be like, oh, well, this would make me better.
Exactly.
Like if you could hit the ball harder, your legs, if you can move,
run faster,
you know, you
can
all get of that.
To, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So we're almost at the end, but I do want to talk to you. You mentioned this a little bit earlier, like the in between, you know, and thriving in it. So I'm curious, like, how would you describe the in between? What does that look like? And like, what makes you think, okay, why are we not thriving in it? Like, do you feel like we're just surviving through it? Yeah. So describe that to me a little bit.
You know, I think a lot of times we find ourselves in the in-between because change has happened. Mm-hmm. So something has changed. And often change is maybe not a happy change. You know, sometimes sometimes it is, but you know, I can't help but think about, I love that movie Hope Floats. Do you remember that one from like the
long time ago?
Yeah. I wrote down the quote, but it says beginnings are scary. Endings are usually sad, but it's the middle that counts the most. You have to give hope a chance to float up.
I love that.
And I think that captures this essence that sometimes when something ends, even if you were like, it was time for, you know, us to move into middle school and we left all of our, like, you know, your double digits are, you know, you're no longer going to be, you know, single digit. But sometimes they're sad. And sometimes you're like, I'm like, this is good. This is good that we're moving forward. Sometimes change still has a way of leaving you feeling a little bit scared of what's to come and a little bit sad of what was. And so I feel like sometimes you just feel a little bit in that in between, like, well, now what? Like, I don't, I know what was, but I don't know what is to come.
Right.
And that can just leave you feeling, you know, sometimes scared and uncertain.
Right.
Sometimes there's grief that you have to manage in that season. And so I do, I feel like that season, it can be hard for that reason.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just like when I, you know, when we moved here, that was an ending. And it was kind of like, well, what's next? Like, am I going to keep writing books? Am I going to keep doing the podcast? Am I going to like, it was just a lot of questions, things that had defined my life for like 8 years.
Yeah.
Now you're like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so that has a way of being scary. And so I do think a lot of us in this season find ourselves in those kind of places and how to find, I don't know, a sense of peace, with where you are while you kind of wait for what's next.
So what would you say that you've done to help you thrive versus just feeling maybe a victim to it, right? Where you're just like, I'm barely surviving. Like, you know, what have you found that works a little bit during those unknown times that you're just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm in limbo and, you know, answers are not coming fast enough.
Yeah. Well, I think it a lot of introspective work is what is required in that time of asking questions and to, I don't know, sort of recognize how you feel, you know, to recognize the grief or the sadness that you feel or the heartbreak. Or to recognize those things and to actually feel those things and to get curious about them. And then to just kind of, I feel like in those times where I can look back in my life, I've done a lot of just like anticipating really is a good word of like looking around, what could be next? Yes, this ended, but what could be next? Yeah. And so, you know, some of those seasons might last a long time, but that anticipating. And so in that anticipating, you're getting curious again, well, what brings me happiness? What brings me a sense of peace? What am I thankful for? That mindful practice of gratitude really is helpful because it helps ground you with here I am, you know, I don't want to be here, but here I am. What can I be thankful for? Just even on such a small level for being here. That has helped me in those seasons where I don't really know what's next or I didn't want to be here. You know, this professional thing ended and I didn't want it to end, but here I am. So I'm going to be thankful and I'm going to reckon with my grief that I feel, but also anticipate what could.
I love that. Well, Sarah, we're at the end. How about you share with us where everyone can find your book and share with us the title again? And then I also will put this in the show notes for everyone.
Yes, absolutely. You can find me at sarahbragg.com.
Okay.
You can order Is Everyone Happier Than Me anywhere you buy your books. And if you buy the book, you pre-order the book, buy the book, go to sarahbragg.com/happy.
Okay.
And you can download, you'll get access to a secret podcast show that I did all about perfectionism. So, talking about that whole worth stuff, I dig deep in with a therapist about perfectionism. So again, sarahbragg.com/happy.
Okay.
You just need your like order number for wherever you bought it and then you can have access to it.
All right. Awesome. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show again. It was so great talking with you.
It was so good to see you.
Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to the podcast this week. If this podcast means something to you, it would mean so much to me if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to do three things. Follow or subscribe to the Mom Inspired Show. This means that you will never miss an episode. It also helps me to keep bringing you relevant content and more amazing guests because these are the numbers that they look at when deciding to come on certain podcasts. Also, if you have the time, I would love if you would leave a 5-star podcast review and share the show with your friends. You can do this wherever you listen to the podcast. Till next time, bye-bye.